All right, Audrey's going to do the beginning, and then I'll finish it up for you. This is John. It's chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. It's on page 1063 of your pew Bible.
In the beginning, it was the world, and the world was with God, and the world was God. He was the God in the beginning.
Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.'"
The Christian message can be contentious. To some people it's appealing, and to some other people it's off-putting. Yet when we read John's Gospel, we read of someone who was able to take meaning and understanding and words and appeal to different groups of people. In John's time, Greek philosophy and thought abounded, but also Jewish thought and belief as well. Greeks had a conception of what was known as logos. They attributed that to some form of development of creation, but they did not consider it to be part of a person. They did not attribute it to a deity. Jewish belief, on the other hand, said otherwise. They recognized creation. They recognized God's involvement in it all, but could not see God taking shape and form in a human, in Jesus Christ, as he came into the world in that form. And so John appeals to the Greek believing people and to the Jewish believing people, seeking to bring together an understanding of who Jesus is. And that's when he calls Jesus the Word, Logos. In Greek philosophy, Philo and the Stoics would have believed certain things. To Jews, other things. And yet John brings together this understanding, but then develops it all the more and says, in this person, in and through Jesus Christ, was the beginning. He was there in the beginning. Everything comes through him. Everything has been formed by him. And so John attributes Jesus as being fully God. And that was a revolutionary thought. Coming at the end of the first century, when different people were thinking and believing different things, John's words, more than the other Gospels, actually proclaimed Jesus in a new way, enabling those who believed to know that Jesus is who he says he is. And so John's words today still apply. There are some who would warm to belief. There are others who might not. But that doesn't change a fact. A fact of who Jesus is. Where he began. Where he is now. And where he will be one day. And our lives and our world fits into all of that, whether we believe it or not. I've never known a time when Cockenzie Power Station didn't exist. It was built before my time, and throughout my time it has loomed large on the horizon. Until yesterday, you could stand in almost any part of East Lothian and see visible two chimneys, never mind the structure connected to them. And from certain vantage points in Edinburgh and across the water in Fife, all was visible. But now they are gone, demolished, razed to the ground. And I believe it. I wasn't there yesterday. I didn't witness it myself, but I've seen enough evidence to know that they are gone. And so, if I were to travel to East Lothian today after this service, I'd be confronted by the truth. And that changes the landscape of the place I've known so well for so long. In all of this, what's happened to Cockenzie Power Station reminds me of John's Gospel. For John wrote in a certain way, he had a particular message, and that was to encourage belief. But not just encourage, inspire. And not just inspire, but promote. In other words, John's goal was to demolish whatever might be said or done to the contrary of belief. But more than belief, John's desire was to dismantle whatever would prevent a relationship with Jesus Christ. For that is what is needed most. And so we find in John's Gospel a description that points us to the real person of Jesus, that points us to who God truly is, demonstrating beyond doubt that there is a basis for physical life as well as spiritual, contradicting what the general consensus might be. That changes the landscape of our existence. It changes the landscape of our beginnings. It changes the landscape of what life can mean. And it changes the landscape of the future. And it all begins with what John describes as the Word. And that differs from the other Gospel accounts. Matthew, Mark and Luke each describe Jesus in distinctive ways. Think of events such as Jesus' birth, baptism, temptation, spiritual confrontation and many parables. Then think of the Last Supper, the events that took place in the Garden of Gethsemane, as well as Jesus' ascension, of which there is no mention by John. And whilst the first three Gospels focus on Jesus' ministry in Galilee, John considers what Jesus said and did in Jerusalem alone. Look more closely still, and the origin of Jesus is emphasized distinctly. Matthew says that Jesus came from Abraham through King David, demonstrating that he is the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. Mark highlights that Jesus came from Nazareth, demonstrating that Jesus is a servant. Luke shows that Jesus came from Adam, demonstrating that he is the perfect man. But John points to Jesus coming from heaven, demonstrating that he is God, fully and completely. And so, if you want to know what Jesus taught and did, the first three Gospels are where to look. But if you seek to know who Jesus is, then John's Gospel speaks of more. Only John highlights seven signs or miracles of Jesus, of which six go unmentioned elsewhere. Only John ensures that Jesus' voice is heard through seven statements, not recorded in the other Gospels, as Jesus says, "I am." And only John gives voice to the witnesses who testify as to Jesus' identity. Yet, most of all, John points us in the direction of the beginning. And that roots the world and all that we know into something. It provides each one of us with a root. It gives purpose, sense, meaning and history all in one description and all through one person. It tells us that we have come from something rather than nothing. And it makes plain that God exists, giving us each an ancestry through him, as and when we believe. But more than that is revealed the nature of God. For if a Jewish rabbi were to speak of the personal aspects of God, they would say the word of God. And so, from the outset, John underlines that God is personal, that he has personality, and that he seeks a personal response and a personal engagement with us all of which is reflected through Jesus and connected to Jesus. For John's Gospel countered all manner of belief and non-belief, bringing clarity instead of confusion, as well as certainty in the midst of what would otherwise be chaos. And so John said that Jesus has always existed, that even if there was a point of beginning, he was already present. And John said that the Word is the source of all life, the very principle of life, not simply its biological basis. And John said that the Word is the very essence of light and life, for Jesus does not just have it, he is it. And John said that when the light of Christ shines, the darkness which it encounters will be overcome, always and completely. Yet John also said that belief is sometimes hard to come by. John the Baptist was sent as a messenger, but not all accepted him. And Jesus came, yet not all believed in him. But to those who did, and those who do, John says something more. Yes, there is life to be had and to be found, but there is also power. There is also authority. That is why that is a way into God, and it's a way to stay in God, to experience him and all that is him. For John says that Jesus has become like us, sharing with us in all that we might share. He once took our form but we can begin to enter into his shape and form, bringing with it new responses and new understanding to all that we might encounter. John and his fellow disciples saw Jesus. They witnessed him. They observed him at first hand. And whilst that can't be our experience directly, because of his coming, because of his sacrifice, because of his rising, we can know him progressively and increasingly. We can know him in our heart, in our mind, and in our very being. We can know him in our circumstances, in our church, in our community. We can know him in society and within our nation. All because John's gospel tells us that unbelief is not the norm. It may be the default position of some. It might be the viewpoint of others. And it may well be respected and regarded. But Jesus Christ renders it as being obsolete. For there is enough evidence. And there is enough experience. There has been enough first-hand encounter. And there is more than enough to encounter as Jesus is known now. All of which challenges whatever it is that looms over us. For John's gospel tells us that no longer are we to live in the shadows. There may be something on our horizon which dominates. There may be issues which seem too large to escape. There may be difficulties from the past that have grown to become seemingly insurmountable. There may be hurt, regret, and failure that towers over the person that we are. And there could be a reliance on other ideas, other viewpoints, other philosophies, or other explanations. Yet, even although they stand, even although it might seem as if they've always been, always a part of life, there will come a time when they will come down, topple over. For John says that Jesus has always been and always will be, so much so that he has gone ahead of us. He stands in front and he can make a way. And that can bring down whatever it is that can hold, whatever it is that can inhibit, whatever it is that can sidetrack or dissuade, whatever it is that prevents the acknowledgement of God. All of which tells a story of redemption. One which offers possibility, for the light of Christ knows no bounds. It can illumine any and every person, challenging what we've known and changing what we've come to accept or assume. For when it comes to belief, there is much to believe in. For me, there would have been a time when that would have been difficult to accept, much as there was a time when I could never have imagined that Cockenzie Power Station would be no more. But now it is, and now I know better. The question is, what about you? Let us pray. Lord, help our belief. Encourage our belief. Sustain our belief. And fulfill our belief. As we look to Jesus and rely upon Jesus always. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.